Thank you, worship team, and Dallas and Marty for leading us into the study of God's Word. You know, it's a wonderful thing in some ways that we have so much time to be sitting and reading or whatever you like to do during this COVID experience. I've done a lot of reading very broadly, but the study that we've been doing for a number of months now continues to draw and to compel me. I enjoy the rereading of the account of the Israelites and how God led them, because I realize more and more how absolutely parallel the lives of the Israelites and the lives of Moses and Abraham and the others that we've been studying. Because, you know, it's easy for us to say, well, yeah, you know, they were special and God kind of, you know, picked them and handpicked them and gave them special powers or a special experience. But in reality, if you really think about it, they don't have anything over us. It's just a different time, a different place, and it's easy to become to lose a sense of how their lives parallel our lives, because we kind of glorify them, we hold them up and say, well, they were saints, they were better than we are, or they lived at a time when God spoke personally. And I realized the more I read it that their lives were just as confusing, just as stressful, maybe even more so in some ways than our lives. And so I want us to remember that God gave us the Bible, the messages in His Word for a purpose, and that is for us to better understand Him, to hear His words, and also to see how His word and His power worked in the lives of men and women just like us. The same blood running through their veins, the same thinking thought processes. So we need to make sure that we want to hold them up as saints or as God's special leaders, but we also want to make sure that we don't distance ourselves so much from their reality and say, well, ours is different or whatever, because really humans have been the same from the beginning and will continue to be the same. And God is in so many beautiful ways. God tries to communicate, tries to relate with us and to us. The topic, you know, I've used many different titles, but the main theme is kingdom living. And that's what everyone who believes in living God throughout time has had the privilege of living in the kingdom of heaven. And I asked, Dallas to read this passage because it's a reminder that, you know, Jesus himself shared this and shared this with his disciples and his followers, that we are the kingdom of heaven. It's within us. We carry it with us everywhere we go. We need to be aware of that. We need to be conscious of that and not say, well, okay, the kingdom is coming. You know, it's in the future. And so I'm just going to kind of, cruise around and just sort of wait for it to come. When Jesus himself said that the kingdom is within, I like the word within because, you know, it designates, it tells you exactly where that kingdom is. It's not out there. It's right here. It's me. I take responsibility for being for one who carries that kingdom. You know, there are people today where we're very aware of carriers of COVID, you know, people who may look fine and they're walking and they're smiling, and they're happy, but they're carrying, okay, that. Well, in a positive way, we are carrying the kingdom of God. It's in our DNA. It's in our soul. It's in our hearts. It's in our lives. And we need to become more sensitive to that, to get in touch with that, because the world has a magnetic pull on us. And it's easy to become distracted. It's easy to, you know, like I've said many times, chase the devil's dogs, and to not really be sensitive and conscious of the here and now, and the present reality, I guess, is the word we've been using. So as we look at the story reported, before I do that, I want to back up for a second. The text that Dallas just read follows the story of the healing of the lepers. You remember that story. I won't go into all the details, but I want to point out a word. And the word in Hebrew is at the end of verse 19. Okay. And the word is translated in my Bible. Jesus said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Now, I appreciate that someone somewhere translated that Hebrew word. The word is sozo. They translated as well, but it also is translated as saved. Okay, you see, rise and go, your faith has made you, or has saved you. I like that too. I like the idea of being well, but when God healed this leper, he had a much greater purpose for that leper's life. And that was that the healing, it would save him. He was saved. Why? Because he had faith in Jesus' words. It's sad because he was the only one that came back to thank Jesus. Isn't that sad? Out of 10 healed lepers, only one came back. Only one acknowledged the healer. Only one acknowledged and understood the depth of his healing. It went beyond his physical healing. It led him back to the feet of Jesus, and he was saved. The idea of being saved is something that we need to comprehend. We need to enforce that thought in our minds, with the idea that regardless of the present realities of our lives, regardless of what may happen tomorrow, or may happen a month from now, or a year from now. The point is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the one who saves us. He heals us ultimately. He heals our souls. The body, yes, but the soul. The emphasis here on this passage is that he was saved by faith. All right? So, As we turn back to the book of Exodus, we're just on the verge of Moses going up into the mountain to receive directions from the Lord, from God, and we have an interesting little account here. For a while, we kind of left the story of Moses. His father-in-law, Jethro, he lived with Jethro for 40 years. That's a long time. And to live with your father-in-law, especially. And he became very much a part of that family. He was adopted, married into, I guess you'd say, into that family. And that family had tremendous influence on Moses. In fact, I would venture that it was at the feet of his father-in-law that Moses learned more about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because as you know, Jethro was a distant relative of his. Kind of interesting. Life takes a full circle sometimes. And it was at the feet of Jethro that the stories of great-grandfather Abraham and Moses, and rather Noah, and Adam and Eve and all the great men and women of the past came to light and were re-emphasized in Moses' mind. And so you can probably thank Jethro and Moses' lovely wife, Zipporah, for their faith in God that they then taught Moses to have that same faith. And that faith was tested dearly throughout the Exodus. So we have the children of Israel. They've been brought out of Egypt. God miraculously brings them out of Egypt. He has this guiding pillar of light at night, this warmth, the cloud of that shades them in the daytime. As they move towards in the direction of the cloud, they follow the cloud into the desert near the Mount Sinai. And it's interesting because I keep trying to find an exact number of how many people, because it's really mind-boggling, do you think, because many of the commentators, they refer to a number of around 3 million, and I think, wow, that's a lot of people. I've heard some commentators, they put it around more like around 3,000 or 300,000. The point about numbers is not the main point. The main point is that this large encampment took up a space of about the size of Rhode Island, as I had mentioned before. It was a massive encampment. And archaeologists have found that encampment, and they assure us that it is large. So whether it was 300,000 or 3 million, to me, is not important. The important message here is that when people put their faith and their trust in God, then God will sustain them, that God will provide the manna from heaven, the word, the beauty. You know, Jesus said, I am the bread of life, okay? So when you think about the idea of you know, Jesus referring to himself as the sustainer of life, that he is the bread from heaven, and here is the manna that sustains the life of the children of Israel. The water is provided for them. Their clothing does not turn to rags. Their shoes do not wear out. There are hundreds and thousands of little miracles in their lives that you would think would encourage them to have faith in God. And yet, that seems to be a struggle. And I got to thinking about that, and I realized, and I started just sort of in my own head, just writing down things in my life that where I see that God had sustained me or my family or a friend of mine. And I realized that, like the children of Israel, if we stop to think, if we stop to reflect on the past reality, the walk that we had with God, that God does sustain us, he does provide. Keeping in mind the story the story that we just read about the blind, the 10 blind men, and one, only one, understood the significance of his healing, which was in reality his salvation. We all, regardless of where we've been or where we are right now, we all can claim that salvation. That regardless of what happens, ultimately we have salvation through Jesus Christ. And so we need to remind each other and remind ourselves that this is the greatest of all gifts. It is Jesus Christ himself who came down from heaven as the bread of life, as the water that we would never thirst again. Once we are filled, once we drink that water, just like the woman at the well, he said, you know, the water I can give you, you'll never thirst again. Was Jesus talking about H2O in the well? No, he was talking about being filled by the water of life that flows from the throne of God, that comes through from Jesus himself. He is the one who gives us the water of life. So back to the Sinai Desert, we have these massive encampment at the foot of Mount Sinai. And you all know the story. I don't need to go through all the details, but God then comes and he calls Moses up into the mountain. Moses then goes up to speak with God. Now, you say, well, okay, so now here God established that the only way you could hear God's voice, the only way you could experience God was through someone else, vicariously, through Moses. Well, but that's not true. If you've been following along in the story, God wanted to speak to all of them. He wanted to establish a personal connection along with the corporate connection, the children of Israel. But the children of Israel, because of their whining, because of their complaining, because of their lack of faith, were not hearing his voice. So it's important that even when we're in the present, even though we may be out of water, or we may be out of food, or we may be, you know, struggling with certain elements of our lives, that even during those times when we might slip into sort of a self pity or a feeling of you know, anxiety, try to focus yourself on the fact that Jesus Christ has already saved you. Okay, that our life here that we live is, we're just passing through, like the old gospel song, you know, I'm just a passing through, I'm just a wayfaring stranger, I'm passing through this world of woe. We are aliens, we are strangers in this land, because God has already placed us in the kingdom, as that passage of scripture said, it is in you. The kingdom is in you, and that makes you, you know, as the blind man, you're saved. You're already saved. It's a past tense. Now you're just on your way. You're walking through this world, but you have the kingdom of heaven in you, and all of the blessings that come along with that. So Moses goes up into the mountain, and And while he's up there, then God talks with him, and he presents Moses in chapter 19. That's the chapter where he goes up into the mountain, and also while he's there, he receives in chapter 20. Then he receives what we know of today as the Ten Commandments. As far as we can tell, according to all the comparisons that have been made, linguistic changes, all the things that people who translate go through, the Ten Commandments have remained unchanged. I think it's beautiful that they're so short. People go, "Wow, okay, that doesn't look like a problem." You know, ten. You know, one for each finger on my hands. No problem. I think I can probably keep those. I think if I put a list on the wall and I can just check them off each day, then if that's all that's required of me, then I'm going to be okay. I'll make it. Well, I think most of us probably have lived long enough to know that it's not possible. That because of our human nature, because we are of a sinful, broken nature. Just as the Jewish tradition says, you know, we were broken. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were broken. God is in the process of repairing that vessel or that vase. And he's putting it back together. Each of us is in the process of having our lives put back together through the power of God and through faith in his healing power. The beautiful part of it, though, is when you're in God's hands, when you're in his hands, that's the safest place to be, right? Whether you're a pile of porcelain shroud or porcelain pieces in his hands, or whether you're a vase that's almost completely put back together, you're still in his hand. You're saved, okay? You are healed, and sin no longer has control and power over you, because you're in his hands. So the children of Israel, with all their grumping and griping and complaining, they were still in God's hand. God was still maturing them as individuals and as a nation. He was still maturing them, going through the process of healing them. And God is merciful, amen? God is great. He is good. He is so full of love and compassion for his people. I encourage you to bask in the warmth of that, to allow that to flow over you like the healing oil, you know, that they used to use, anointing their head with oil. That oil was symbolic of God's healing power in our lives. Allow it to flow over you, especially today. Today is a beautiful Shabbat day, and you're down there in probably one of the most beautiful places in the United States. You're blessed, and God, in spite of some of the things happening around us, we now are right now at this very moment, even though some of us are separated in our own homes, we are experiencing the joy of the kingdom, and we are being blessed by it. And so here we have Moses. God writes these on a tablet, on a stone, and hands them to Moses. Now, as I got to reading this and reflecting on these Ten Commandments, and we make a big to-do about the Ten Commandments, and throughout history that has been the pivotal point. And people say, well, okay, like I said, that's fine, 10, that great, I can do that. Well, the fact is it's not just 10. All right. We don't realize that we are living under the care and the power of God every single day of our lives. The very fact that our world is not spinning off and crashing into some massive planet like Saturn, you know, and going into a million pieces and becoming Marty, I guess they call them supernovas. I don't know, but, you know, or just blowing up reveals the power of God. We are under his care. And part of that means that we are every day when we get out of bed in the morning and plant our feet on the ground and we can walk on the ground without floating through the air like we would on the moon, says that those are laws that God established millions, whenever, way back, way before our world came along. There were rules and regulations that govern the universe, and those are from God. That is part of God's kingdomness, okay? So we can be thankful that we have gravity. We can be thankful that we have beauty in the world around us. We can be thankful that we feel the presence of his Holy Spirit when we gather together and when we're in prayer or studying God's word. We can be thankful for everything that we can connect to God. All the good things come from God. And those things that are not good, they come from another set of rules. It's called chaos. And we see that in the world too. But if we focus on that, we can become discouraged. We can become anxious. We can become everything. Focus on God's kingdom, the goodness of his kingdom, the beauty of his kingdom, the glory of his kingdom, the power of his kingdom. And most importantly, remember that you are saved. Okay? That you are saved. Past tense. All right? And part of that salvation means then that we are governed. We're in God's kingdom. We are under his power, under his rule, under his lordship. And the Ten Commandments is part of that. All right. It's part of God's beautiful family. Now, families that don't have rules, that don't have parameters, don't have guidelines, don't stay together very long. Because chaos comes in and every man goes for himself. Nobody cares about anyone else. They start fighting. And next thing you know, they're going in all different directions. But families that have parameters, families that have guidelines, don't drink out of the milk cart. You know, little things like that. People say, how ridiculous is that? Well, but it's a guideline. Okay. We have a guideline now set down for us. Wear your mask. Okay. Don't drive over the speed limit. Don't text while you're driving. The world we live in is full of rules. And if you're a rebellious person, if you're a rebellious person, a deeply rebellious person, I know where you'll end up, where a lot of my high school friends ended up. okay? If you believe that there are guidelines given to us in society to sustain society, to make it healthy, to make it safe, then you're going to live a lot longer, and you're, in the end, you're going to be much happier too. In fact, psychologists tell us that it's important to give children from the very early, youngest years, guidelines, parameters, because children without parameters end up with all kinds of sometimes mental problems. They're important to have. God knows that. He knows that we need guidelines. We are children, and we haven't reached the stature of maybe Moses or Methuselah or some of these other people in the Bible, Elijah. Some of us, it may take a lifetime. Some of us reach it sooner than others. That's okay. The point is, you're in God's hand, and God is reshaping your life. He is gluing the pieces together to make a whole, a healthy, a mature faith. Now, I like the song we sang this morning, and the words jumped out at me, because we are in the process, as it says in our bulletins, in to know God. We want to know God. We want to draw closer to God. We want to be more sensitive to His voice in our lives and His leading in our lives. And I like where it says to find you in the place where your glory dwells. Did you think about those words? To find you in the place your glory dwells. I don't know about you, but I can't think of a better purpose for our lives, and especially in today's world. I don't know about you, but I look forward to our time here on Zoom. At first, I was a bit reluctant, but I'm looking forward to when we will be able to be with each other face to face, like we were at Lexi's wedding, Lexi and Matthew's wedding. It was kind of nice to see you once again face to face, and hopefully nobody got sick. I don't know of anybody, but I think everybody is well, so that's good. But the idea of being in the presence, Derek's coughing, to be in the place where His glory dwells. Does anything else really matter in life? We all, you know, we have jobs, we have school, we have relationships, we have family, but if you could be immediately teleported, however you want to use it, into the very, very presence of God's throne right now, what would you give up to do that? I don't have anything as valuable enough. Certainly we would say, well, I'd like to have my spouse with me or my kids or whatever. But if everything was placed before you that you have or you own or you've done, and you could choose between that or being in God's, literally in God's presence right now, would you take that opportunity? Think about it. Because Moses did. He could have found a million excuses to not go up on that mountain. He could have said, well, Lord, you know, somebody has to stay down here and keep the peace. So do whatever you need to do. Man, Moses jumped at that opportunity. He charged up that mountain. We're talking about an 80-year-old man climbing a mountain. And those that have seen that mountain say it's pretty rugged. It's kind of like the mountains and the hillsides out behind Marty's house there in Palm Springs. It's just big rocks and boulders, and Sinai Mountain is nothing, you know, it doesn't look like the Alps or anything like that. It's pretty barren, pretty bad. But he charges up there because he knows that without the power of God, without the direction of God, without the leading of God in his life, the children of Israel would be lost and wandering in the desert. And so he's willing to sacrifice everything to be in the presence of God, to be where his glory dwells. I love that line. Could have been the title of the sermon. So keep in mind as you go through the coming week, coming days, that everywhere you go, you are carrying with you the kingdom of heaven. Be conscious of that. Be conscious that the kingdom dwells in you. Ask yourself in the morning when you look in the mirror, you know, do I see the kingdom of heaven dwelling in me? Sometimes, yeah, you know, your hair's all messed up and all, but it's God wanting to come and to dwell, to pitch his tent, as I've said before, to pitch his tent in your backyard or in your heart, if you want to become even more meaningful. Now, mature faith, as I've pointed out before, and I'm going to repeat it again, mature faith is based on truths, or the truth, or truths, either however you want to say that, about a living God, not an Egyptian stone god or a Babylonian altar of worship, or a living God. And we're created in his image, so he's very real. He's living. And a final reality. Always keep the final reality before you. Because it's when we lean into that final reality. When you're running a race and you're coming to the end of that race and you've got two or three other guys that are right alongside of you. You watch the people that run the Olympic races, and you will see that they lean forward as much as they can without falling flat on their face, because they want to cross, they want to lean into that final inch or two so that they'll be ahead of the person next to them. So we need to lean into the kingdom. We live in a reality that sometimes is harsh, but as we lean into the kingdom, we realize that the kingdom of heaven is present now in a spiritual sense, that the physical kingdom is yet to come. So we live in the now and the yet to come. Isn't that a beautiful thing? We can begin to experience the glory of God in the very present. We don't have to wait to the sweet by and by. That's coming. It may come a year from now, a day from now, or 1,000 years from now. But the important thing is that we're leaning into the reality that the kingdom of heaven is in us. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the life of Moses, the lives of the children of Israel. We thank you for the experiences they went through so that we can look at their experiences and say, that's where I'm at and here's where I need to be. Lord, we all want to be healed. We want to be healed of the things that this world hurts us, the things this world does to us, damages us. Lord, we realize that this world is in chaos and confusion. But it's wonderful to know that there is a God who will sustain, a God who has saved us. Past tense, saved us for eternity. Lord, help us by faith to grasp onto that reality, to lean into the coming of the physical kingdom, to anticipate it, to desire to run the race in such a way that you will say on that great and glorious day, come thou faithful servant, come spend eternity with me in my physical kingdom. Thank you for each family at Point Loma, for each individual. We thank you for the way you have sustained those who have been struggling with their health. We pray especially right now for Ginger. Lord, I pray that you will just send your healing power to strengthen her, to encourage her. We know that we have a number of people who are struggling right now, and we ask for healing in their lives. We thank you for your love, for your mercy, and may you be glorified. We pray in your name. Amen.